The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, Roman numeral 4, the doctrine of the sins of the tongue. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the promise of God, contingent upon the believer confessing known sins or generic forgotten sins at any time and restoring the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit in order to serve God in time, in order to receive and be edified by spiritual information. This is your responsibility, and so let's prepare ourselves as usual. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to assemble ourselves together and to continue to fulfill the royal imperative to grow in grace and knowledge. Thank you for everything you provide us with, even our adversities, knowing that these things work for our good. Thank you for this opportunity. Be with us in our study. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, in the listing of the sins of the tongue, flattery is a sin of the tongue, and it, as noted, was connected with deceitful behavior. Flatterers, and some people are into that a lot, do not do well and come off well in Scripture, as it is condemned repeatedly. It's a part of being fake and not genuine. It's nothing wrong with praising somebody for something, complimenting somebody. There's nothing wrong with that. The motivation, as always, is the key. You know, that's the motivation. If the motivation is beyond just simply a genuine statement of appreciation or a genuine compliment, those things are fine. We do receive praise from others. Let your praise come from others. That's fine. There is nothing wrong with that. It's not to be confused with this at all. Don't assume because someone compliments you that this is a form of flattery. It is not necessarily. It comes from the motivation within the individual. Some people are genuinely appreciative of things and they express it. The psalmist in Psalm 5 another of the many Psalms of David. And in the Psalms, you by reading them, because a lot of them deal with prayer and praise, but the reading of the Psalms gives you some traction with regard to your own prayers, how you approach God. And a lot of these psalms arose out of the extreme adversity the psalmist found himself under. This adversity usually is tied to those who hate him. And David had a lot of people who hated him instead of rejoiced in his blessing and position over Israel. It did not come easy for David. He didn't just walk into this like his son Solomon did. It did not come easy for him. His life was very emotionally and physically strenuous. He was a literal warrior He was a man who himself was hated and hunted like a dog by the then established king Saul, who would not accept the rebuke of the prophet that the kingdom was taken away from him because he refused to do one thing: kill Amalekites. Wherever you find them, kill them. Take them out. It's a divine directive. This directive came from the days of Moses forward, the first people on earth to attack corporate Israel after the birth of the nation, if you will, at Sinai. That's the birth of the nation. That's when national Israel started. Before, they were a tribal community and did not have a national construction. In order to have a nation, you have to have people and you have to have a law code. And thirdly, you have to have real estate. Well, they were marching towards real estate, and the Amalekites attacked them. Now, the Amalekites also were a very nasty people. By that I mean they were cruel and brutal. They were not builders. They were people who tore down. I believe that the 11th plague of Egypt was the vacuum left as a result of the collapse of the military of Egypt, leaving the civilian population of Egypt wide open to what historians call the Hyksos. Those are the Amalekites. They were on the march. They were nomadic, destructive, and brutal. Much like, in some ways, like the Assyrians. But the Assyrians were civilized. These were barbarous people. They attacked Israel. This was Israel's first experience as a nation and having to defend itself against military aggression. And a battle was fought, and Israel prevailed. And from that day forward, God said, wherever you see Amalekites, do them in. David, and this all because David did not rise to the throne with ease. Well, yes, God worked it out, set the timing. David was a hunted man. In the popular eye, he was maligned. Saul had the reins of power, had the propaganda. But Saul knew that the true prophet of God, Samuel, had anointed this young boy to be king over Israel. David knew it. And David had his things he could and couldn't do. One of them was, even if he had opportunity, and he did, he couldn't kill Saul. He couldn't wipe him out and end this threat to his life. He had to continue to be wary. He was out doing God's will, doing things, but Saul was hunting him down. When he got into power, the nation finally came together as 12 tribes and heralded him as king over Israel. This is the Psalm 5. Notice the opening words in addressing God. Give ear to my words, O Yahweh. Consider my groaning. He's talking about whatever the context here of this psalm that is giving him this extreme distress from enemies. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. Meaning, I'm looking for you for help here. I can't remember exactly when we did Psalm 5 if this was in connection with those who saw David in his weakness due to his sickness and this encouraged them that this was the time to strike and bring him down. Because when a leader like him, so many people, when he got into this condition, imagine it for a minute. A great leader, your leader, if you were in the nation, under the sin unto death, for high crimes adultery and murder of the husband of the woman that he had the affair with, and for whatever reasons he didn't rebound that in a timely fashion. I shrugged my shoulders. You'd think you'd get real quick to do that. I don't know what he was thinking. Well, I know at first he tried to cover it up, but then it all blew up on him because a prophet came in and confronted him with it. That damn court prophet. He had to show up, didn't he? Nathan. I mean that sarcastically. He confronted him with his sin. In other words, his sin found him out. There was already in the palace, because servants see things that don't look right. And so all this is going on. So he comes under the sin and to death. Psalm 32. He's dying. But guess what? Imagine you're in David's position. God has already told him that he's going to live to see all of his enemies go by the wayside to a reasonable old age. This event that occurred in his life occurred probably in his 40s, maybe 50s. He died when he was 70. Exactly. So imagine this, and there were those that they weren't happy about. I mean, they weren't wanting to take him down. Even his family and others get away from him. He had one fake friend that came and visited him to get info to take to the enemies. But see, they're salivating. He's going to die. They're so sure of it. The jerks. They are so sure that he's going to die. But they're impatient. Typically, they want the throne. Sound familiar? They want the throne. They have no genuine regard for God. They want the reins of power. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. Kind of a faith rest thing. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you. He's got that right about God. You're not a part of it in any way. You allow it to exist, but you're not a sponsor of it in any way. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. Another sin of the tongue, bragging, sinful boasting. We're going to do this. All the rest of it. The crowd that boasts. You hate all who do iniquity. You destroy those who speak falsehood. Well, he's got a bunch of people on this earth to destroy now, doesn't he? I mean, he's got a lot. He's got the biggest collection almost probably ever that are out there speaking lies on all topics. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. God hates these kind of killers of humanity. It could be anything from, you know, a mafioso organization gangs or militaristic on a national level. Or whatever kind of genocide that, for instance, the elite have set forth on this earth to thin the herd, to call the herd. People think I make these up. This is not some weird conspiracy. It's true that they are trying to reduce the numbers of people on the earth to so we are manageable. Because if you get too many of us, it's hard to manage them. God said, multiply and fill the earth. They want to kill us off. They got soft kill and hard kill. They're playing a big game now. A huge one. And it's attack on humanity. Who do you think that wonderful stuff is they're spraying over our heads? I've had people get mad at me. Oh, they're not spraying anything. That's just a contrail. I said, I've seen contrails since I was a kid. I used to watch jets go over Lake Angostura. The little thin white deal coming out. And it'd go right away because it's condensation. And once the sun hits it, poof, it's gone. This stuff doesn't go. I've seen crisscrosses that looks like a checkerboard square. And this stuff coming out of these planes. And you can look it all up online. Talk about denial. I'll bet you don't want to breathe that stuff in. That's a conspiracy. And it's sponsored by our government because individuals couldn't be doing this. Coming off these air bases with these planes and this stuff just roaring out of the back of them. You know, you need to look up in the sky once in a while. It might not be pleasant. And it's not just in the United States, all over the place. So the question is, what are they doing? What are they trying to achieve? Well, it isn't the health of humanity. They can call it weather control, weather modification, geoengineering, whatever they want to call it. You can go to their websites. You can see some clues on it. They don't like us. So I really get kind of tired of people being so intellectually dishonest. Look up. Those don't go away. They spread out. Contrail. No way. I wish they were. They're not. There's bad chemicals in that stuff. And it's intensifying. And people are complaining about how it makes everything funky and they can't, and it should be a bright sunny day. And now we get, this knocks it out. God is going to destroy those that destroy the earth. What do you think that means? Not accidental pollution? No. This stuff is intentional. It's an attack directly on the human race. And this isn't the only one. Every which way. Thank God he protects us and keeps us going. But this is what the human race is up against. One of the English princes said he wished he could come back as a virus and destroy X amount of the human race. Where'd the outrage go with that? Where was the outrage for this prince making this statement? That he wanted to come back as a virus and wipe out millions and billions of people. You can see the girdle stones in Georgia that mysteriously were put up in a relatively rural area. They kind of mimic Stonehenge. And it's like the Ten Commandments of this world order, and one of them is reducing the earth's population. And a mysterious guy came in with a car with a big bunch of money in a briefcase, and these masons, not Masonic masons, just guys that cut stone and stuff, built this thing. It was commissioned. He was mysterious. They set it up. All of it was carved in. You can look it up. Why don't I see anything about that on the national news? It's kind of like the Ten Commandments, only it's the ten deals for this new order. These people want to establish this tyranny over humanity. So we're up against some. I got two kinds of enemies: personal and impersonal. That's the two broad categories of enemies the believer has. Ones you've never met, you've heard about them maybe, but they're your impersonal enemies. And then there's personal enemies. David's enemies were people he knew. People even he had befriended. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. That gives you some comfort. God's against him. He's waiting for his time and setting this trap for them all. But as for me, see, that's the contrast. By your abundant loyalty, I will enter your house. They can do what they're doing out there, but I'm still going to worship you. Whatever they're doing, I'm going to worship you. They're not going to keep me from your house. That's where I learn, where I'm edified, where I'm encouraged, I'm reinforced, comforted, calmed down. At your holy temple, I will bow in reverence to you. For you. O Lord, lead me in your righteousness because of my foes. Make your way straight before me. Help me to handle this thing. There is nothing reliable in what they say. So what are they saying? They're bad-mouthing David. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. An open grave is a nasty thing, by the way. An open grave has all the remains of someone, and that's why we close graves up, because that stuff's nasty, toxic. Their mouth is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. He's seen them. They're phonies. This is kind of way some people operate. They disarm people with flattery. They want to hug you, tell you, oh, it's so good to see you. Yeah, right. How are you? Blah, blah, blah. Might even throw in some God bless you thing. They're phonies. They flatter with their tongue. Hold them guilty, O Lord. By their own devices, let them fall. In the multitude of their transgressions, thrust them out. That's what's called imprecatory prayer. For they are rebellious against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them sing for joy, and may you shelter them. That those who love your name may exult in you. For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield. That's a pretty powerful psalm. But it does address the issue of the flattering tongue. Because see, that's part of their technique. Try to throw them up. But David's astute. He knows them. Excuse me. 12:2. Another one of his psalms. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be. For the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak falsehood to one another. They flatter with flattering lips, and with a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that speaks great things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Because of the devastation of the affliction, because of the groaning of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in safety for which he longs. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace on the earth, refined seven times. You, O Lord, will keep them. You're going to back your word up. You will preserve him from this generation forever. The wicked strut about on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. Sounds like our time perfectly. Romans 16:18. Paul writing to the Christian community, the church at Rome, in his conclusion towards the end of this letter, he says, "Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you've learned, and turn away from them." He's not talking about unbelievers here, obviously. He's talking about people within the Roman church, Christians, who are acting in this fashion. Turn away from them. "For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites." Power lust, like this and that. "And hindrances contrary, but are their own appetite, but by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting." I hate to see that. They take a believer they think is weak or new on doctrine, and they can work on them with smooth words. That you have to watch out for. Know who is praising you, talking all of a sudden real nice to you, giving you an unexpected phone call. Yeah, that one ought to tip you off immediately. Never said three words to this person. Now all of a sudden they're calling me on the phone. Bam, hang it up. I mean it. Bam, hang it up. You don't come on to me with this. You can do that in fellowship. You say, "Well, I feel bad. I never got called." You might. You might not. They see a weak link, or they perceive it's a weak link. They go for the kill. And you better know that. I've seen it before with ex-church members. I've seen it in my history. I've had people come to me later and say, "Yeah, this person took me aside. Never had anything to do with me. Kind of looked down on me all the time, but now all of a sudden they're friendly to me. And they want to go out and have coffee. It's okay." "Now, do you think that a person can do," and of course they list these big bad sins, "do you think that a person can commit adultery, or do you think that a person can do drugs and be positive?" Huh. Well, let's look at the Bible, see if we can find any answers there. "You don't think David was positive when he got hooked up with Bathsheba? Do you think he just quit being positive one day? Threw all doctrine out, everything?" Well, you're naive. Of course he didn't. He went with his sin nature. He was still positive. Look how he came up out of this. And look how God pulled him up out of this. It's a powerful lesson. It's a big lesson. There's probably, you'd find very few people that would have lifted a finger for him if they knew and understood what he had actually done. But that's how grace, you know, we sit here and sing, "Grace greater than all our sin." I won't give you too much of my good voice, but I'll just give you. Okay? Well, it is. So, again, watch out for these people. They're not going to come on to you and yell and scream, probably. They're going to come on to you in a nice, soft way. Satan goes about even as an angel of light. Not just the roaring lion approach. That happens. But also threatening and all this business. But also this nice, calm, "Oh, hey." So what person, "Well, I think he's a nice fellow. Look what he's doing." You get doctrine, you see through it. So what do politicians do to win people over? You know, it is a function of the evil woman. Well, of course, that one's obvious. The woman who is trying to bring down a male in Proverbs. Do you think she's going to say all kinds of nice stuff about this chump? Her victim, her target. She's going to flatter him. Pump up his ego. And of course, being under his STA and lusting after, he's going to fall for it. Unless he's smart. See? Why would she all of a sudden think I'm great? So if one of these type women zero in on you somewhere, someplace, you know that she's not sincere. She may consider you good looking or whatever she considers, but she doesn't care about you. And if you've ever had that experience, boom, out of the clear blue, bam. And sits down beside you. Away we go and all this. Oh, you look nice. Blah, 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 blah. They're out there. And you got to have your spiritual guard up and be aware of this. That's a tactic they use. Flattery. Again, it is a function of deceivers in the last days. And I see, you see so much, you can't judge every little situation, but you see so much of this praising of everybody and on and on and on and on and on. It's disgusting. Last days. These are grumblers, finding fault, fault finders. You see people like that? They're fault finders. You want to find some fault in me? Imagined or real? You can. Fault finders. I've seen it too. I've heard it too. I don't think you spent enough time introducing the book of Ecclesiastes. No, I had to reel in my STA. Right at that point, because it ticked me off. So you're an expert, huh? And how much introduction I should have given to Ecclesiastes. I got to war these people out with all the history of the study of Ecclesiastes. I ain't doing that. I don't have time for that. But people used to praise you and everything. Then you start finding fault. They're fault finders. And in the world, there's a lot of fault finders. Following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly. Flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. So when people start flattering you, sometimes it'll be so obvious that it is, oh, this is something I need to turn away from. Flattery disarms its victim. Having your armor on, having your wits about you, you can begin to deal with this. There's two ways you can approach somebody. You can rebuke them, or you can flatter them. There's more blessing for rebuke than for flattery. Getting rebuked isn't any fun, is it? But you can't live the Christian life and not ultimately get some kind of a rebuke from another believer. What do I have here? Proverbs 28:33. There is no 28:33, so I guess this isn't in the Bible. Proverbs 28:23. Yes, there is. My eyes, sorry. He who rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with a tongue. It is something that is foreign to the mature believer. Job wasn't into flattery. Wasn't one of his things. You don't have to resort to this. I mean, I can't always tell if a person is involved in flattery or not. I mean, it's not. But certainly, Job 32. Uh, This is the fellow, the one guy who is involved at the end of this episode with Job and his ordeal. This Elihu, he heard all this stuff that was put out by these other friends of Job, and it ticked him off. He saw through it. And Elihu knew his place. He's a young fellow. Young fellows could have it over the older ones. It shouldn't be that way, but in this case it was. And he bided his time. He didn't open his mouth. He waited until all the older men had talked, because they were older than he. He began to speak, and he restrained himself. He used self-control until it was the proper time to talk. And in 21, he said, "Let me now be partial to no one, nor flatter any man, for I do not know how to flatter, else my Maker would soon take me away." He considered it that serious. So it could be a scary sin. I mean, we might not think flattery could get you in a bunch of trouble with God. But he considered it was something that he wasn't into it. He wasn't playing games with people. Everybody was equal before him. And he was going to treat them accordingly. So there's an interesting example. It is not the function of the communicator of doctrine who is faithful to the Word of God. Paul did not come to Thessalonica like the usual traveling public speakers that were very popular in the ancient world. These itinerant people came around. And you know what they do? They butter up an audience. They tell them all how great they are. They start making compliments on people. This is the function of many in the pulpit. They're flattering people. Now, it's one thing, again, if the pastor, "I praise you for your steadfastness. I praise you for what you've done in this, say, in a situation." That's not flattery. That's simply recognizing to the congregation that I am grateful for your application. And I, like I might say, through what we've been through this last year or so, I am grateful for those of you who have stood firm, those of you who are genuine in it. I am grateful to you. I'm thankful to you. You did well. That's not flattery. That's the truth. That's complimenting someone for passing the test or enduring under adversity. Because I know it wasn't an easy test. And that isn't flattery. Paul's talking about something completely different here in Thessalonians. He said, when we came and started presenting our message, you had a contrast between us and these other people. One, we weren't asking you for any money. Two, we weren't flattering you all over the place. We were telling you where you stood relative to the plan of God and what you need to do about it. We weren't mean. We were compassionate. We understood that, you know, you're out here in the world, you're pagans. We're not here to attack you, but we're exposing the evil you've been under and showing you the way. But we didn't flatter you. That would have stood out. Sometimes actions on the part of the communicator also reflect something and communicate something to people. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know. This introduction, that's the way these people do. What a great audience we have, and blah, 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 blah. And find some little thing that they like, and oh, that was so nice, and all the rest of it. That's what the traveling philosophers and these type of people did. They buttered up their audience. As you know. Nor with a pretext for greed. God is a witness. We weren't here looking for the monetary angle. How to get it? How to get money? Give us money. You're new converts. We don't in any way present that as an issue. We have something to give you. And because they were used to these traveling, you know, come to our deal and we're going to have an offering for this guy to take care of his expenses and blah, 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 blah. So I have been circumspect all my ministry with regard to the issue of money. It's between you and God. I will teach the doctrine of giving, the importance of it, but no gimmicks, no pressure, no tactics, no guilt trips, nothing. You are convicted by the Holy Spirit. You are going to do with your monetary, you know what you're supposed to do. You've heard the doctrine. I'm not asking new believers to give, new to the truth. Let them figure things out. God will cut off all flatterers. All right, that ends flattery. We got that one down pat, don't we? Some people don't know what else to do. They just got to say something, you know. Again, there's nothing wrong with saying thank you. I appreciate your doing this. I don't say this all the time, but I thank you. If they do that, it's fine. It's nice. We can compliment any number of people. You know, if someone makes you a nice meal, it isn't flattery to say that was really good. That's just a fact. Thank you for having me in your home. Thank you for this. That isn't flattery. Flattery is there's a motivation. It's phoniness. All right. This one ought to get a few people. Gossip and slander. The word slander also has the idea of to malign somebody. Denigrate. This is where we all need to exercise more caution. Before we open our mouth about another believer, even if we know something they've done wrong, that's just gossip. Oh, did you hear? The whole motivation there is wrong. The self-discipline, ask yourself, is this some information that needs to be passed on? It's essential or not? If you were trying to warn someone about something and someone, it might be. But it is so easy to get into, well, gossip, basic gossip. The gossip mill. Gossip is usually associated with the female of the species, but it isn't exclusively with them. Believe me. Okay, I have a little after, and so we'll stop here. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May the truth communicated bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.